In this episode, you're going to get the latest video marketing news from all of the big social platforms and search engine land's Barry Schwartz, one of the big rock stars in Google News, is going to be here to talk about Google's new mobile first index and how you can be prepared.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuds.
What's happening? All right, so in this episode, I've got a lot of interesting news. Coming up later on, we're going to be talking with Barry Schwartz, who's going to be checking in on the podcast. He is one of the big rock star reporters in the world of Google, and he's going to share with us where Google's going, how to properly position your business, and why you should start being focused right now on Google's mobile first index. But that's coming up later on in the podcast. Now, this week, the Wirebuzz team has been up in San Francisco. Like, our crew, if I'm not on the road, they're on the road. But our crew is filming so often that every week we're in different cities. This week, they're in San Francisco, 3 days filming at a jewelry store with a very large diamond brand. So we're filming inside of one of the jewelry stores, and while we're there, the jewelry store said, well, look, if you guys are already going to be here filming for the diamond company, you should probably knock out our videos too. So we're doing all of that in the Bay Area. You'll see some photos on the show notes page. And if you're following us on Insta, you should know that throughout the day, whenever the crew is on location, they put up really cool videos behind the scenes. So you could see what the shoots look like long before you hear them on the podcast. Get direct access on Instagram and go to the Wirebuzz channel there for some really cool videos. Now, Netflix has been in the news. They introduced a new interactive feature that lets viewers choose the direction in which the show they're watching is going to unfold. Now, the first show to include the functionality is a version of Netflix's Puss in Boots program called Puss in Boots, Trapped in an Epic Tale, which made its debut Tuesday. Now, I'm reading from Silicon Beat, one of my favorite sources. The concept is fairly basic. Your child watches the program, which places Puss in Boots within the story of Goldilocks and, of course, Goldilocks' three best friends, the bears. And at the central point in the story, Puss breaks the fourth wall, and viewers are given a choice of two options on the screen to choose which way they want the story to go. Look, you can learn more about this on the show notes page. I think it's really interesting. The story, to me, is a reminder that each of our businesses, we should be looking for ways to break the fourth wall or new barriers. Right? Here's how I did the same with my own business. Now, recognizing that one of the biggest concerns businesses have about video marketing is that they don't know how to generate a return on investment with those videos. And I already know how to do that. Now, recognizing that I know how to do that, we created a 5-part mini course that teaches the secrets to generating and guaranteeing your videos get ROI. You can get access to them on the landing page, wirebuzz.com/ROI. It's a break of the fourth wall, because in this world of video marketing and even digital marketing, most people, they only know how to create the content, but they can't attach the strategy to the website to the content creation, the content to the go live tactics when you push it out and engage, and then track all of that back into a CRM or an ad campaign that goes into a CRM that helps you determine ROI, right? So always be looking at where can you break the fourth wall. This is a break of the fourth wall in digital marketing, because most marketers don't understand how to connect all the dots. Most videographers don't understand the marketing dots that need to be connected. But I do, and my team does, because we do it each and every day. And if you want to get access to that 5-part mini course where we teach our secrets, go to wirebuzz.com/ROI. All right, let's move on to Facebook for a few moments. Now, TechCrunch is reporting, as Facebook approaches 2 billion with a B monthly users, its CEO, Mark the Big Zuckerberg, today revealed a new mission statement. quote, to give people the power to build community and bring the world closer together. He said, we have a responsibility to do more. And Zuckerberg announced the change today at the Facebook Community Summit for top group admins, where it announced the new group management tools that are going to be rolling out. Zuck said, for the last decade or so, we've been focusing on making the world more open and connected. But I used to think that if we just give people a voice and help some people connect, that they would make the world a whole lot better by itself. But look around, and our society is still so divided. We have a responsibility to do more, not just connect the world, but to bring the world closer together. Now, rather than have the new mission be just a philosophy, Zuckerberg says Facebook is turning it into a goal. Quote, we want to help 1 billion people join meaningful communities. If we can do this, it will only reverse the whole decline in community membership that we've seen around the world, but it will also strengthen our social fabric and bring the world closer together. Now, right now, Facebook considers there to be only 100 million meaningful group members, and they want to flip the script on that. Now, I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on this. You know, as a listener of this podcast, that I am the co-founder of three of the largest cancer awareness campaigns: Breast Cancer Answers, Colon Cancer Answers, and Prostate Cancer Live. They were all birthed out of family issues that we were experiencing. And to those audiences, they've all gone crazy viral. In fact, in a 12-month period, they generated 1.1 million followers. So if you're interested in having this conversation with me, please continue on with it by tweeting your thoughts to me or posting your comments in the show notes section for this episode. If you reach out, I'll reply, all right? It's just that easy. Now, in Facebook news, if you visit the Facebook page for like Netflix drama Narcos, and this is out of Adweek, it looks like that the cover image on that Facebook page for Netflix is moving. Your eyes, they aren't playing a trick on you. Facebook confirmed that it's testing the ability for pages to upload videos and to serve as cover images. And if you go to Wirebuzz's Facebook page, well, you'll see exactly what we're talking about, because this week we put a video into that cover spot where you would normally see an image. We have a rotating video. Make sure you join us on Facebook. Join our Facebook page, follow us, and what you'll see is the latest news and information, our latest tips and tricks, and episodes for this podcast get put right up there, and you can also carry on the conversation with me on Facebook. Cool? All right, let's switch gears right now and talk about Insta for a moment. TechCrunch's John Constein wrote a really interesting story about Instagram. Quote, stories widening its lead over Snapchat and rolling out new features to keep everyone shooting video is something we should all be focused about. Instagram stories now have 250 million daily active users, up from 200 million in April, 150 million in January, and 100 million in October after launching the Snapchat-inspired Stories clone in August. Now, that compares to Snapchat's total 166 million daily actives for the entire app, and Instagram's total is 700 million monthly users. Amazing, right? Snapchat's total, 166 million daily users. Instagram's monthly. Oh, don't you hate that when the article doesn't give you liked things? I mean, it seems kind of foolish, right? So in this one sentence that Josh Constein, I'm giving him a compliment. Now I'm tearing him apart. But in his one sentence, he's comparing unliked things, apples and oranges. So Snapchat's total is 166 million daily actives, and Instagram has 700 million monthly, right? And from the new creative tools to location stories, we've been focused on making it easier to share any moment and uncover stories from the accounts and interests that matter most to you, Instagram told Josh Constein, and he writes in his article, quote, as a result, we're continuing to see strong growth both in the U.S. and internationally. Let's talk about Snap for a moment. Shares of Snap, and this is out of CNBC, snapped back to life on Monday after announcing a new deal with Time Warner. Now, Time Warner is going to make shows such as scripted dramas and comedies, and what they're going to be doing is creating an augmented reality platform, and Snap will also get ads from HBO, Turner, and Warner Brothers over the next 2 years, the company said in a statement. This kind of reminds me, you know, Time Warner dropped some money into Snapchat this week. I think I read off the top of my head, it was some $100 million, okay? And money like that keeps a company like Snapchat that's underperforming, keeps them afloat. It kind of reminds me of when Apple got a lifeline thrown to it by Microsoft and Steve Jobs way, way back in the day. Now, The Drum is reporting in an effort to attract a younger generation to go out cruising. Cruise ship giant Royal Caribbean has built what it says is the first ever Snapchat spectacle dive mask, with which it shot three Caribbean dives that will air this week on its Snapchat channel. Now, the so-called Sea Seekers, right? It's a dive mask, was engineered by the cruise line, Royal Caribbean, which said it's going to allow the wearer to snap while underwater and will give those above the surface a unique perspective into the intriguing underwater world of marine life. Now, I've got this article for you. Here's what I want you to think about. First of all, when you're looking at somebody else's snaps, or you're looking at somebody on Instagram or on Facebook and their stories, what you're really doing is you're probably sitting at the office, or maybe you're waiting in line somewhere and you're buying some time, but you're daydreaming. And when you see a friend that's on an awesome trip, like I've got a friend right now, a good friend of Wirebuzz, that's traveling through Italy, taking a traveling cooking class in beach cities in Italy. And as I look at it, I go, oh my God, what am I doing in the office? I should be in Italy at this cooking class, right? Or I should be, Christo, who works here, you know him from the podcast. Guy climbs up Machu Picchu, posts on Facebook. I'm like, what am I doing in the office, right? I should be on Machu Picchu. We should be out there doing a human sacrifice or something to make the world better, bring rain to the desert or something. But Royal Caribbean is tapping into that innate feeling that we get when we're on social, and they're doing it in a very clever way. Make sure you break that fourth wall and you start thinking about how you can bring users into your experience and let them do your marketing for you. You got it? All right, if you're an SEO nerd like me, Search Engine Land is reporting that there's a new movie that looks back on the history of SEO from the mid-1900s to today. Did I say mid-1900s? I meant mid-1990s, all right, when we all got started Googling things. And John Lincoln, the CEO of Ignite Visibility, began working on SEO, the movie, last October, interviewing a half dozen industry veterans like Search Engine Land's Danny Sullivan and Barry Schwartz, who's going to be coming up later on in this podcast. And in that movie, he talks to them about the early days of SEO and the impact of affiliate marketers and the impact of the Google toolbar and SEO, thanks to the visibility of the display of PageRank's meter, and how that quickly created a marketplace for buying and selling links. Also, the monthly Google Dance, when Google SEO would suddenly find out if Google's latest ranking update impacted them for better or for worse. Now, if you want to watch this documentary, I'm going to give you access to a link where you can see it for free, all right? And just the listeners of this podcast, you can access that off of the show notes page for this episode. Now, listen clearly. This is episode 98, wirebuzz.com/98, later on in the podcast. I'm going to give you a clever way to remember 98. So when you stop listening to this podcast, when you get to your computer, you're going to know exactly how to get there. And when I say I'm giving you a free link, you should know that when I say free, what I'm really doing is I'm saying it with air quotes, all right? If you know what I mean. It's free. All right. It's free to the listeners of this podcast and really anybody else online that can find that link. Wirebuzz.com/98. Hey, by the way, I started watching it last night. Then I got a little tired because I really shouldn't have started it as late as I did. And it's 41 minutes long, something like that. So don't think like a traditional movie. Think more like a web-based movie. And I'll be crushing it really soon. If you want to carry on a conversation about that, because I know as soon as I see it, I'm going to be reliving many of my early search day nerd experiences. So I'm going to want to have a conversation with you. Okay? Make sure you hit me up, wirebuzz.com/98. To join us to talk about the latest developments in Google's Mobile First Index initiative, I'm joined right now by one of the rock stars of where Google is going, Barry Schwartz. Hi, Barry.
Hey, how are you?
Barry, great to have you, man. You know, I've been reading your articles forever, and you know, I remember speaking at SMX East or West years ago and seeing you in the front row taking notes, and like a fan, I came down off the podium to just excited to meet you and to thank you for being a part of the session that I did. I believe it was a session that Mark Traphagen and I did together. And it's just an honor to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for doing this.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Barry, how'd you get started in digital marketing? I mean, I feel like I've known you or followed you forever, but I never really heard your origin story.
It's an interesting one. So I really started writing about search engines and search engine marketing and SEO about 13, 14 years ago. So I started a company back when I was a teenager with my brother, my twin brother, Ronnie, in high school.
Well, maybe it was your twin brother I met.
No,
no, I'm just kidding.
Actually, he looks nothing like me. And, it basically started in high school, and it was basically a website development company. And we grew it into a web software, mobile software company over the years. And during that time, I got very interested in learning about how search engines work, reading the articles out there, and then obviously taking notes on them. So, I started with the Search Engine Roundtable, I think, in December 2003.
Sure.
And from there, it was basically the purpose was to cover what the industry was talking about in the SEO, SEM space. And I basically went to the forums, participated in a lot of these discussion forums. Now, it's obviously, a lot of that's on Twitter and Facebook and so forth. And I pretty much summarize what I think are the best conversations and
yeah.
the best news from our industry on those websites.
Okay, that's super helpful. You know, I keep hearing people say that Google keeps changing all the time, but I've been following Google as long as you. I started in 1999 with early SEO, and but I think that you know, if you have the right foundation, Google really doesn't change much. You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, typically the foundation itself of SEO hasn't really changed much. You still want to build great quality content. Mm-hmm. You want your content to be read by a lot of people. You want people to want to share it with their friends. So that concept of building great content that people like to read, like to share, is still the same as it was from day one.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're a white hat person. If you're a black hat, then it's always changing because you're gaming.
Right. I mean, yeah. So there's black hat. Yeah. If you're black hat, you're looking for all the ways to trick Google. And obviously, it's a cat and mouse game with spam.
Yeah.
So you want to be one step ahead of that.
All right. So you wrote a great article about mobile first and where Google is in that mobile first initiative. And the digital megatrend at play here, at least as I see it, is there are more people using mobile for surfing the web than desktop or laptop. And because of that, Google wants to optimize the user experience by prioritizing and giving preference to websites in their search results that are mobile first. Do you buy all that, Barry?
So I'm not sure if that was accurately describes what's coming. So they did definitely do a initiative that if people are searching on their mobile or smartphones, that they would give a little bit of a boost to mobile-friendly websites. And that was a few years ago. This new initiative of the Mobile First Index is not really giving a boost to necessarily mobile websites, but crawling. They're going to crawl the web and index the content that they're crawling as if it was a smartphone accessing that website.
Okay.
So they're going to look at your website as if it was a mobile device, crawling it first. Obviously, if you don't have a mobile site, it's fine. They'll access it as a desktop version, like you would access a desktop version on a mobile phone. They just look. They have to squeeze in and navigate the website as it was, like, kind of small. So you have to kind of, like, zoom in with your fingers.
Right.
But their priority here is really to kind of see the web as a mobile phone would see it. Because most of their searches, over 50% of their searches, are done on mobile devices.
And it helps Google become a more valuable tool when its users and the user experiences are demonstrating search results mobile first.
Well, yeah, I mean, it helps the user experience for their searchers, because if their searchers are on mobile devices and they click over to a website that's not mobile-friendly, it's a bad user experience for their searchers to go to a website that doesn't really fully function well on a mobile device.
Absolutely. All right, so there's going to be a transition that's going to be taking place on that mobile-first indexing, but Google tipped their hat in your article. You mentioned when you're going to be seeing a transition. Why don't you tell our audience about that?
So it's funny, because when they announced this back in November 2016, right. So pretty long time ago, they said they're experimenting with it. So we thought it was like out there, just being shown to like 10% of searchers. Who knows? And then they dialed it back and said, no, we're not really testing it. It's just something we're working on. And we expect it to happen sometime in 2017, maybe the first quarter, maybe the second quarter. And that obviously is past or almost past. And then we thought it was going to be at the end of 2017. And now they're saying sometime in 2018. And when they do release it sometime in 2018, it's probably not going to be rolled out all at once. You're going to see it rolled out in batches. So you're going to see, you know, certain websites be given the mobile first crawl and certain websites won't, because those websites aren't ready for it. So they were kind of expecting this sometime in 2018. If I had to guess, they probably would want to roll it out sometime in early 2018. But the question is how and how much are they going to roll it out? And I suspect it's going to be done not necessarily by percentage of searchers searching for stuff, like 10% of searchers are going to get the mobile-first index. That's not. I don't think that's going to be the case. It's going to be like these websites that we know are mobile-friendly are going to be on the mobile-first index first, then we're going to try other ones that are not as mobile-friendly, and then go on to desktop sites to see if they can fully understand that. And there's lots of challenges Google is addressing with these things, and that's why it's taking them so long. It's just the mobile web is significantly different than the desktop web at this current stage.
And eventually, do we get to the point where Google provides preferential results for mobile-first sites?
They said no. I think obviously at one point when desktops go away, I mean, if they ever go away, right. I mean, if they see like 90% of their searches are over mobile, they're going to be like, you know, why are we even bothering with desktops? It's not really worth it. And maybe they have like a secondary index just for those who are searching on desktops. But I don't know. I mean, then there's voice search. Like, people are going to stop, you know, using mobile phones and they're just going to talk to their devices. And we see, I think the metric was 25% of all mobile searches are done over voice. So, yeah, these things are constantly changing, and that's what makes this industry so, you know, fabulous.
You know, we're really obsessed with the video marketing space, but naturally we understand that everything starts with traditional digital marketing tactics and strategy. For people that are listening right now, is there a key takeaway that you could give them about how to be prepared or how to get themselves in the right positioning for this mobile-first initiative that Google's approaching in 2018?
Yeah, I mean, Google has very good documentation on this. There's many ways to make your website mobile friendly. If you go to Google and just search for Google mobile friendly, I believe their developer docs on the three ways to make your site mobile friendly come up. At the same time, it's probably, if you're thinking about how to become mobile friendly, then responsive design is probably the easiest and most safe bet, I think, for Google. Because basically it's just making your current website mobile-friendly, and it's not changing the navigation, the links, the URLs. Everything is pretty much remaining the same. It's just the website itself responds to being on a mobile-friendly website, and there's obviously a lot of documentation out there on how to do that. So and Google's been hinting a lot that they prefer, they said this numerous times, they prefer responsive design over other, but all of them will work if done according to their developer documentation. But yeah, I mean, to prepare is, you know, very simple. You just go ahead and make sure your site's mobile friendly. Google has tools in Google Search Console, or you just search for a, you know, mobile friendly testing tool, put your URL in there, and if you get the green light, you are mobile friendly.
Now, I'm sure you know the mobile friendly tool that Google released probably about a year ago or something. It's what, testmysite.thinkwithgoogle.com. I'll put it on the show notes page for the listeners, but is that something that you recommend people use to evaluate their sites?
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what you just said. They're using in that tool that you're talking about, that was just a marketing URL for them to get people to use that tool. That's in Google Search Console or the mobile-friendly testing tool. So yeah, that tool is great. It basically gives you the same exact results as the other tool that I was talking about.
And for the listeners, one of the things that's great about this tool is when you're done, and here at Wirebuzz, by the way, we did this for all of our clients. We went in and searched their URLs and then provided the test results. But when you email, you put in your email address and Google will send you a very thorough breakdown on modifications and enhancements that your site needs in order to be mobile friendly and to pass with a certain high letter grade. So I thought it was a very interesting learning experience, even from a webmaster perspective on how Google looked at my site.
That's exactly right. Yeah. They'll give you, you know, tips on not just on, you know, what's not mobile friendly and touch points and stuff like that, but also, you know, they have site speed tools, and obviously on mobile, you want to make sure your site is as fast as possible because you could be on slower connections, and the connection could be not as good quality. So you want to make sure your website is snappy, which is one of Google's reasons for using this AMP project, where they're trying to get people to switch over their mobile sites or parts of their mobile sites to this AMP protocol.
Yeah.
But yes, fast and mobile friendly is key.
All right. So Google said recently in Webmaster Office Hours video that if you're planning at some point to migrate your m.domain to a fully responsive website, then you should do this before this mobile first index goes live. Can you provide some context to that for our listeners? Many of them might be hearing about this for the first time.
Right. So this is kind of technical. So I'll try to go through it as simply as possible.
Cool.
So m.dots are, if you ever go to like a Amazon web or a certain like retailer website, it's like m.domain.com.
Absolutely.
And that's the mobile version. Sites that are responsive are, you just go to www.domain.com and the site looks mobile friendly on the website. It's just responsive. It just works. Some sites go with the m.dot approach where it tells Google, hey, here is our mobile version of our website. When a mobile user clicks from your search results, send them to the mobile version. So if it's responsive, Google's not doing anything. They're just sending it to the right website. If it's an m.dot or a variation of that, Google will say, all right, let's take the www.domain and redirect them to the m.dot domain because we know they're coming from a mobile device. And there's ways to communicate that to Google. The issue with that is that now Google's only annotating that, saying, all right, this page, let's say, you know, www.domain.com/page A, has this content on it, and they're indexing page A as the desktop version of the content. But if you have an annotation saying that here's the M version, Google's only taking that as an annotation, not actually crawling the M.dot version. They're crawling the desktop version, and they're taking the signals from the desktop version, and they're putting that in their index. And the only thing they're annotating is saying, oh, if there's a mobile URL, send the mobile user there. If you go ahead and say, if you go ahead and do a responsive site now, and you redirect your annotations to the www version.
Yep.
All the thing that Google is doing is dropping out that annotation of the m.dot. They're saying, all right, no more m.dot, it's responsive. If you wait to do this after Google switches to the mobile first index, Google is going to then go ahead and fully index the m.dot version, because Google is going to index the mobile version first. So it's indexing your m.dot site above your www site. Then what you're going to have to do is do a whole site move if you ever want to go back to the www. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
you have to go ahead and say, you're going to have to go ahead and say, all right, let's do a site move from m.dot to the www.dot, and that is a lot more work for Google to re-index the site. It's not just we're dropping an annotation, it's actually re-indexing the whole entire website.
All right, so people really want to get started on this early before Google makes that transition, just so their company and their business website is prepared to be optimized.
Yeah, you don't have to necessarily do this. It's just that if you think you might want to go responsive over m.dot or variations of that, now is the time to do that if you're planning on.
You know, Barry, there's a lot going on in video and Google, and we know that Google provides some preferential treatment to videos in their search results. What should our audience know about some of the latest developments coming from Google as it pertains specifically to video and video marketing?
So videos are interesting. Obviously, YouTube is the number two search engine out there in terms of search volume, as they say. Google's constantly surfacing video content in their core search results, especially around how-to queries, how do I tie my shoe, how do I, you know, do anything. They often not just provide a textual answer, but they often provide a video answer. Google's not necessarily able to index the content of the video, but if you ever look at YouTube, they automatically try to transcribe what people are saying into actual text. You can actually click on the little buttons under the videos that say, you know, more, and this transcribe button that actually takes automated they use AI, artificial intelligence, to automatically transcribe what you are saying. So depending on how well you speak, people from New York who speak too fast, Google has a hard time with it. People who speak a bit slower, Google has an easier time transcribing it. But Google definitely understands what people are saying in those videos. And they actually just released a new feature just a few months ago called Suggested Clips. So if you do a search for how-to content and a video comes up, Google's smart enough to link to play the video in the search results where the answer is actually answered in the video. So if often a lot of these videos, have an introduction, they talk about other things, and then like five minutes and 30 seconds into the video, they actually get to your question. Google's smart enough to actually directly have a start play action at the time of when the question and answer is happening. You don't have to actually listen to the intro and so forth. So again, with anything, even with text content, with video content, with any type of content that you're producing, you want to make sure that your content is something that people want to watch, that some people want to share, and that applies from, textual content to video content to audio podcasts to whatever it might be. You want to just make sure that it's useful content and people want to share it.
Barry, that's really good information. I'm glad we had a few moments to check in with you on the podcast. He's Barry Schwartz. He's Search Engine Land's news editor. He owns Rusty Brick, which is a New York-based website consulting firm. And he also runs Search Engine Roundtable, which is a popular search engine blog on very advanced SEM topics. Barry can be followed on social media at Rusty Brick or plus Barry Schwartz, and on Facebook. And to learn more, you can go to his website, rustybrick.com/Barry. Barry, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Barry. I really appreciate it. All right. So that's the latest news coming out of Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, right? All of them have some little incremental news that you could be using. And of course, you heard from Barry Schwartz from Search Engine Land. And if this episode was valuable to you, well, 98 is what you got to remember to get access to the show notes, wirebuzz.com/98. An easy way to remember 98 is, well, if you go out partying on the weekend and you don't hit it that hard, you're partying like it's 1998. You get it? Wirebuzz.com/98. All right. If this podcast is valuable to you, go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, hit the subscribe button, and each and every episode we will bring directly to you. And if you've got a friend, a colleague, a brother, an ex-brother-in-law that's opening up a new business that you think could benefit from learning about the power of video marketing and how to leverage it across your tactics, by all means, send this podcast to anybody that you're rooting for. And I'll continue to do my job behind the scenes with the team here, source the latest news in digital marketing, the most important developments in the world of video marketing, pull them in together so you know how to generate an ROI, and you can then change the title behind your name on your LinkedIn profile and just start calling yourself a video marketing master.